Welcome to the Healthy and Happy Podcast, a workshop-style podcast hosted by yours truly, Julie Boer. I'm a nutrition coach with over a decade of experience in the fitness and wellness industry, and I'm the author of the book Healthy and Happy, Find Food Freedom and Create the Body You Love, which you can find on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other major retailers. I am on a mission to help women live healthier, happier lives and show up as the strongest, most confident version of themselves. In this podcast, we get real about all things nutrition, mindset, motherhood, and personal development to help you cut through the BS and transform your body and, most importantly, your life. By listening to this podcast, you are showing up for yourself, committing to your own growth and evolution, and I'm so proud of you for doing that. Thank you for listening, and you are one step closer to building the body and life of your dreams. And just a reminder to support the show, if you love this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so we can spread this message of health, happiness, and empowerment far and wide. And tag me on your Instagram story so I can show you some love for listening. Let's dive in. What is going on, my loves? Welcome back to another episode of the Healthy and Happy Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking all about a mindset diet. Now, if you don't like the word diet, that's cool. We often have a lot of negative connotations about dieting. It's a very loaded word. We think of it as restriction and deprivation and negativity. And I agree. A lot of the diets out there are complete BS, and I do not recommend them from a nutrition perspective. However, I find it interesting how we are so quick to detox and go on these restrictive diets with our food when we don't feel like we're taking care of ourselves physically. But have you ever considered going on a mindset diet and ruthlessly eliminating or restricting the negative thoughts, the accounts you follow that are not making you feel good, the conversations you're having with your coworkers, your family, your friends, the way you're thinking about your life and your circumstances? That's what we're going to chat about today. So first, a little bit of a story time. As you guys know, I said in my last podcast, Self-Care When Life Sucks Part 2, or the revised and updated version, that my dad recently passed away in December. So it hasn't even been 3 months yet. And I have found that not only am I struggling with the grief of him passing, it has also brought up so many triggers that I've struggled with in the past, and they're resurfacing hardcore now. As an example, during the time after I had my first son in 2020, which was also during the pandemic, I had a lot of health anxiety about him, about me. I think that tends to be kind of what happens when you become a new mom. You're like, oh my God, I need to live forever. And then that feels like all this pressure. And so once my dad passed away, and that was the first time in my life that I've been confronted with death on such an intimate level of somebody so close to me who I love so much. And he was quite young. He was 66 when he passed away. It was the day before his 67th birthday because he did not take good care of himself. That has brought up so much mental anxiety for me about my own health. Like, am I really doing everything I can? Intrusive thoughts about what if something is wrong, which is leading me to make these doctor's appointments and get blood work done, which is good because I do think you should be proactive about your health. But then when any little thing feels off or seems off or comes back weird in my blood work, I'm like, oh my God. And I just get so anxious, like full panic mode, not rational thinking at all. And so I realized that in myself this past week that I've been doing that over the past couple of months since he passed away. And I'm like, girl, we got to get a handle on this anxiety, this negativity, because I do not want to live my life that way. So in my case, the first step was that I had to recognize I am not my thoughts. I have the power over my mind. My mind does not have power over me. And I can simply choose to not engage with those thoughts anymore. Trust me. This is so much easier said than done. But it's the difference between indulging a thought, having an intrusive thought about, oh my gosh, what is that sensation in my body? And then Googling it and then going down a rabbit hole of Google, which is never a good idea. And instead having that same thought about that sensation in my body and being like, oh, that's interesting. Or thanks body for trying to keep me safe. I'll think about that later. So the mistake I originally made when I was trying to overcome my health anxiety was trying to get rid of those thoughts altogether. I shouldn't be having them. If I have them, there's something wrong with me. And instead just being like, okay, this is the way my brain is wired for whatever reason. Yes, there's links to childhood and this and trauma and this, whatever. But in this moment, in this present day moment, what I need to do when I have that thought is say, Thank you, body, for trying to keep me safe. I'm going to move on now. Now, health anxiety can be quite tricky because then the secondary thoughts come in, like, what if it actually is something? And then you're just ignoring it. But as long as you are doing your due diligence to keep up to date with your blood work, just regular things, eating well, moving your body, trusting that you're doing what you can to live a healthy life, then beyond that, the obsessing, the anxiety, the spiraling, the Googling, that is what I'm referring to stopping or having the desire to stop. Because truthfully, it sucks my joy and it takes away from me being able to be present with my family, me being able to show up in the way I want to with work. It completely derails me and I'm making a choice in my life right now to not let it derail me anymore. That's my life's work, but that's what we're choosing in the moment. So I share all that very vulnerably with you because maybe you can relate. I don't hear a lot of people talk about this. So if you find peace in knowing that you're not alone with intrusive thoughts or health anxiety, we're in it together. And I do not want to identify with that anymore. So I'm choosing not to. And what I am going to do moving forward is for the next 30 days, I am being so, so intentional about what I am consuming. Here's the difference. We talk a lot about what I'm consuming from a nutrition perspective on this podcast, but today we're talking about what we're consuming from a mental perspective. The types of content we're consuming, the accounts we follow online, the types of conversations we're having, the YouTube videos we watch, the podcasts we listen to, the audiobooks we listen to, the books we read, the type of people we surround ourselves with. Those things that we're consuming are just as, if not more important than the types of foods we're putting in our body. Because you could be eating all organic, nutrient dense, grass fed from the earth, same as our ancestors. But if your mind ain't right, you don't have true health or wealth. I know this firsthand. I eat very well. It's second nature to me. My work at this point in my life is controlling my mind and not letting my mind control me. So first, let's talk about the auditing process. Because you know I love a life audit. Go listen to that life audit podcast where we talk about this process in detail. But the first thing I thought of was, what am I doing that's contributing to this anxiety or this discomfort in my mind or this feeling of being out of control? Like I can't control my impulses around scrolling or around the type of content I'm consuming. And I realized, number one, not surprisingly, I was scrolling a lot more through my feed. And then I started to be even more aware of the types of content I was consuming. So there's something called the reticular activation system, where when you think of something, you tend to notice it more and more. And that's also how the algorithm works. The more you engage with certain types of content, the more it's going to show up. So as somebody with health anxiety, I'm more likely to click on somebody's post who talks about them being sick and be like, oh my God, what happened? And then Instagram keeps feeding me that type of content about this mom who went through this or her kids did this, and which I'm glad those accounts are out there for the people who need it to feel less alone. But for me, it gives me so much anxiety. Because then it just fuels the cycle where I'm already thinking about something happening. I'm already worried about it. Then I see that it's actually possible that it can happen and I'm faced with that. And then I get more anxious. Then I go down a spiral. Then I go online to distract myself. Then I see more of that content and it just kept going and going. So I realized first and foremost, I need to take a step back from consuming that type of content. And the easiest way for me to do that is just to cut my phone cold turkey. I wish I could just go through and do a mass unfollow of everybody that I follow because it takes too much time to go through and unfollow person by person. So if there's a way to do that and you know it, let me know, please. But right now I just need to like cold turkey, cut out the phone and not see the good, the bad, the ugly, any type of content on Instagram because it's just activating my triggers more than I need it to right now. So that's the first thing I'm doing. I'm creating boundaries around my phone where I'm not going on it unless it's for work. And I have to be very methodical to go on there, respond to DMs, post whatever I need to post, and get the heck off. The next thing I notice is that my anxiety, my mental health is much worse when I'm inside all day. And so rain or shine, I've been trying to get outside, especially now that the weather is getting nicer. There are days that my boys and I are outside literally from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. with the exception of naps and having to go places and whatever. When I spend the majority of my day outside, my problems feel so much smaller and more insignificant. The next thing is that I'm trying to make it less about me and more about other people. What does that mean? So, of course, as a mother, I'm in service to other people all day. But when I'm constantly ruminating about myself or what could go wrong or what's wrong with this or that or this person or me or That is very self-centered, self-absorbed way of thinking. So when I notice myself doing that, I try to shift to, okay, how can I help somebody, or how can I give back to somebody, or how can I do something nice for somebody right now? As an example, last week we got donuts and I did a little neighborhood donut run. I dropped off donuts to a couple of friends and family that we have close by, or I text a friend and say, hey, do you need anything, or do you want to go for a walk today? That's another thing I've been doing, is trying to get out and actually have conversations with adults as opposed to just talking to my 3-year-old and my 1-year-old all day. And my husband, God bless him, but sometimes he's the only human, adult human I talk to in a day. So I'm just trying to create a community, a positive community. That means sometimes not just working out at home, even though that's easier and more convenient, but going out, going to the gym. I feel like that's one thing the pandemic robbed us of, was those genuine, organic, spontaneous interactions where you show up at the gym, maybe you see somebody you know, you have a quick chat, or you pick up a coffee, you talk to the barista for a few minutes. Those interactions I find really benefit my mental health. And when I find myself spiraling and stuck in anxiety, I want to stay home more, but I know the thing I need to do is actually get out more, have more conversations, even if it feels uncomfortable. And then the last thing I'm doing, especially because I am eliminating social media, which I'm on for I don't know how long throughout the day, probably a stupid amount of time that I don't need to be scrolling here and there, I'm instead replacing that time I was spending scrolling on social media with uplifting audiobooks or YouTube videos about mindset, mental health. I really love the work of Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. I'm listening to that audiobook right now. I'm also physically reading her book, The Power Within You, I think that's what it's called. I love Joe Dispenza. I'm just really into people who talk about the ways that you can heal your body and your life through your mind. Because I feel like that's the next level work that I need to do, is really taking control of my mind and not letting my mind and my emotions necessarily rule my life or dictate the things I do on a daily basis. I'm a big feeler, and I feel that it's very easy for me to get stuck in my feelings and be like, well, I feel tired today, or I feel sad today, which means I can't record a podcast, or I can't show up in the way that I want to for this person, as opposed to not bypassing those emotions, of course, allowing myself space to heal and feel and all of that, especially going through grief, that's very important. But then also actively looking for all the ways that I can contribute to my own mental and physical well-being. And I've realized for myself, based on my childhood, my upbringing, my circumstances, I naturally lean more towards anxiety, towards overthinking, towards rumination, towards intrusive thoughts. And as opposed to hating that and beating myself up about it, I just know that I need to be more intentional and work a little bit harder than maybe some people do to be positive. So I see it as a positive challenge. When I find that something is controlling me, like I am obsessively, compulsively checking my phone and unable to stop that habit, I get so fed up. I'm like, girl, no, this ain't it. This is not how you want to live your life. There's so much beautiful stuff around you. You have so much more purposeful work to do in the world. Just stop scrolling on your phone and go do something. And sometimes I just have to work that 10, 15, 20% harder to start my day on a positive note. And I share that with you because in this podcast, I talk a lot about mindset, and you may think that I just wake up and I'm so positive and happy all the time. I am not. I have to work really hard to be positive at this point in my life, to view life with gratitude and optimism, because that is not how I am naturally wired. And I pray to God that someday it is how I'm naturally wired and it doesn't feel as difficult, but I view it as my job in this moment to get there, to bring myself to that point where optimism is natural to me, where positivity is natural to me, where life throws me challenges and I do not let it derail me, send me down this anxiety spiral. I want to choose differently for myself. And so that all starts with everything I just told you in this 30-day mindset audit or diet, whatever you want to call it. So I will report back with my findings, but if you would like to participate in this with me, just send me a DM on Instagram at @byjuliebuer. Let me know that you are doing this whenever you're listening to this. But just to recap, the main pillars of this mental diet that I'm participating in, 1, ditching the phone, putting it in a drawer or cabinet. A secondary thing would be unfollowing people, which I'll eventually do, but right now I just need to go cold turkey, get this out of my way. And pillar number two is replacing that time spent with positivity, optimism, rewiring your neural pathways kind of content, like Dr. Joe Dispenza, Ed Milet, Louise Hay, just people who have that love for life and believe that you have the power to change. Like, that's the kind of stuff and the kind of people I want to surround myself with right now. And just because you may not have those positive people in your immediate circle, you can spend time with people via podcast, via book, via audiobook. When they say you become like the five people you spend the most time with, that actually doesn't need to be people that you know. If I spend the most time with Ed Milet, Joe Dispenza, Louise Hay, and then my family, I'll be doing pretty well. So that's my intention. And then of course, moving your body, that also helps me get out of my head. Going on runs has been really helpful. Doing workouts that are hard enough that make you focus on only the workout and put you in that flow state, I have found to be helpful at this moment. Going outside, there's something I heard once that when you feel anxious and you're inside, your anxiety is confined to those four walls. So if I think of that in the context of me sitting in my office, I just picture my ball of anxiety, bling, 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 bouncing back and forth all over the walls. Whereas if you go outside, there are no walls. So your problems start to feel smaller and less significant and less focused on you and making it all about you. And then I think the last pillar, I don't know because I didn't write these down, is asking how can I be of service to other people? I've said this in podcasts before, but how can I take the flashlight and shine it onto somebody else as opposed to shining it on me? When the flashlight is always shining on yourself, that illuminates all of your anxieties, fears, insecurities, doubts, shortcomings, the ways you're not measuring up. So if you just flip the flashlight around, point it to somebody else, go out of your way to do something nice for somebody else, that really helps you shift to what the meaning of life is all about, which is giving and loving and being present. And also meditation. I forgot to mention that, but I am getting back into meditation. I did a really long meditation yesterday, 30 minutes, but I found that I was going to spend that 30 minutes on my phone. So I'm like, yo, I'm doing this meditation instead. It was, I don't want to say life-changing because that's a bit dramatic, but I could clearly hear my dad's voice saying, give it up to God. You just got to be present. He told me that all the time and I completely forgot that he said that. And I just felt this download come in and I'm like, whoa, that is what happens when you create the space for your brain to just be still. You receive creativity, you receive downloads, you receive messages that you may need for reassurance and encouragement moving forward. And you do not receive those when your brain is so busy scrolling on your phone or so wrapped up in your own problems and insecurities and anxieties. So I hope you found this podcast episode helpful. Again, let me know if you're going to go on your own version of a mental diet. I just find it so interesting that people are so quick to go on a detox or a diet if they've been eating like shit and they feel like shit. But how often do we audit the way we're thinking, the content we're consuming, and go on a mental diet? I feel like if half the people who went on food diets went on mental diets, we would be in a much better place as a society. But we can't control society. We can only control ourselves. And this is one meaningful way that you can contribute to the lives of everybody else around you is when you make sure you are well, not just physically, but mentally. The people in your life are counting on you to be that solid, strong, grounded, optimistic version of yourself. And what a challenge to rise up to. Instead of looking at all the shortcomings, all the ways that you're not those things, or how it's unfair because you have to work so much harder to be positive than somebody who's just naturally positive, or looking at somebody else who's positive and thinking, oh, that must be nice. They're so positive all the time. I wish I was like that. You can be like that. I can be like that. And that's what I'm calling us forward to today. So if you have found yourself stuck in those negative thought patterns, try the tips in this episode. Let me know the results. Would love to hear from you. Sending you a big hug. We are optimistic. We are positive. We are kicking life's butt. Woohoo! That's my cheer for you today. And let's go do it. Love you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye. Hey, do me a favor. If you like this episode, please head to iTunes and leave a review so more people can find the podcast. Be sure to tag me on your Instagram story so I can show you some love for listening. See you soon.